Greetings in the name of Jesus. It's good to see the house well filled tonight. Welcome the visitors in our midst. May we worship the Lord together. Title of my message tonight is The Baptism of Jesus Christ. And I'd like to look at it in a twofold way. I would like to portray the picture of the actual baptism of Jesus Christ when he was here on earth and was baptized. And then also like to think about the picture of the millions of baptisms since then in the name of Jesus Christ. And they've all been baptisms of Jesus Christ, and the baptism we're going to perform tonight as an ordinance is the baptism of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. I'm not going to read most of Luke chapter 1. I'll read portions of it, but as you look at it, it's a very lengthy chapter, but the two highlights that take place in this chapter are the prophecies of two boys that are going to be born in Luke chapter 1. And then we have in Luke chapter if you look at Luke 1 and 2, you look at those two chapters, we have, first of all, the prophecy of these two boys that are going to be born. And then we have the miraculous birth of these two boys that are born. And the two boys are, the first one is John, the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth. You look at the story there and you remember it. The angel Gabriel came to John. John was serving as the high priest. And the angel Gabriel showed up before him while he was performing his duties of priesthood and made a prophecy that his wife, who was old and stricken in years and barren, they had no children of their own, was going to have a son. And they recall his name John. And you remember that John said to the angel, "Well, how will I know that this is true?" And the angel Gabriel said to John, he said, "You won't be able to speak until everything that I said takes place." And you follow the story in John chapter 1, and you find that being the case. John gets done performing his duties at the temple, comes out to meet the people, and he can't talk. He can't talk. And they recognize that something has happened, something great has happened. As was tradition of the day, after the child was conceived and born into their home, everyone expected the boy's name to be Zacharias, because that's how you did. There was no exceptions. He was the firstborn. His name was given to him by everyone. They knew his name was going to be Zacharias. And I'm just going to read the end of the passage after that, breaking in Luke chapter 1 at verse 57, we'll begin at verse 57. "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, 'Not so, but he shall be called John.' And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father. Remember, his father couldn't speak. How he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed. He could speak for the first time in months. And he spake, and he praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad through all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And verse 80, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Something spectacular had happened. And the people in the hills of Judea knew that it had happened. They knew there was something happening. They weren't quite sure how to interpret it all. But they knew that this child, John, was going to be someone. And we know nothing of John after this chapter. For 30 years. He must have dwelt in the wilderness for a long time because it says he went there into the deserts. The other birth that was announced in these two chapters was again announced by the angel Gabriel. And the angel Gabriel came to Mary, the virgin, the unmarried virgin, and said that she was to have a son that was to be conceived of the Holy Ghost. You know the story well. I want to look at the account of the eighth day of Jesus' life. I wanted to mention also that we have the picture in these chapters of these two women meeting together before these two boys were born. Read that account. Read what those women had to say. They were cousins, the Bible tells us. The women were cousins. And they were both expecting miraculous boys. Luke chapter 1 and verse 57. No, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. Here we have the eighth day of Jesus' life. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel. Both boys were named by the angel, John and Jesus, before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, Simeon took him up into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts be revealed. Two infants, miraculously born named by the angel Gabriel. And again, we know very little of the life of Jesus until 30 years later. But this is the scene that we have before. I don't know if these boys, John and Jesus, grew up together at all. I don't know if their mothers ever got together after they were born. I don't know, as young boys and adolescents, if they were told this story that I just read you. I certainly think they would have been told that story. Did they grow up together and talk about the angel Gabriel's prophecy of their lives? I don't know that. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but they could have. Turn with me to John chapter 1. We're jumping ahead in the story now, 30 years. These two boys were miraculously born, both of them, and now they are men. John 1, beginning at verse 19, and this is the record of John the Baptist, as we refer to him. John, the little boy that we just read about, Zacharias and Elizabeth's son. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." Those words are taken from Isaiah chapter 40. You can go back and look at that. We won't take the time to do that. But John is quoting those words from Isaiah 40, a prophecy the Jews well knew. As soon as he said this, they saw any of them who were Bible scholars thought of Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 24, "And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing.'" John was baptizing at the Jordan. We'll look at some other verses that refer to that. But he was baptizing there, and because of that, the elders of the Sanhedrin, I believe, sent and said, "Who are you? What are you doing baptizing down at Jordan?" And this is his explanation. "Who are you? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." And he points them to someone else that is coming. And he says, this someone else that comes, his shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Now, we don't know anything about shoe latchets and unloosing shoes. But in Bible times, wealthy men, kings, princes, if they traveled, keeping their feet clean was a difficult process on the dusty roads. But wealthy men had a servant who went along with them, and he was the bearer of the king's shoes or his sandals. And when they arrived somewhere, he was the one that knelt down in the dust and took the dirty sandals off and cleaned the feet and put on the clean sandals that he carried along so that the king looked presentable. And he was the one who, when they were ready to go back home again, got down and took off the sandals and put on the dirty ones for the traveling. He was the lowest of slaves. He really was in Bible times if you study history. He was the lowest. No one wanted the job. But John said, this person is coming. I'm not even worthy to be that slave, to take his shoe off. Chapter, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I, John, knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. I believe from these verses it is apparent that when John saw Jesus, his mother's cousin's son, he didn't know him. I guess that was because John lived in the wilderness for 30 years. Maybe it had something to do with the way he was dressed. Other scripture would portray that out, and we'll look at a couple of those. But John says, I didn't know him. But the one who told me to come and baptize here in the Jordan said, that's him. That's how I knew it was Jesus. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew's account, a little different, has a few details that I like. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. You see quite a movement there, don't you? From Jerusalem, Judea, and all the region about Jordan. And they were baptized by John the Baptist. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, unto John, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Certainly the kingdom of heaven was at hand, wasn't it? And Jesus went to John the Baptist to be baptized. John was baptizing. He was telling people, there's a man coming. There's the Messiah coming. They understood what he was talking about if they studied Old Testament prophecy. They understood him to mean the Messiah is coming. And this great Messiah said, you baptize me. And he said, no, I don't want to. But he did. And the baptism was very unusual. We do not expect this to happen tonight in our baptism. If that would occur, it would make you go away in fear too, like it did these people. But this occurred because it was Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, that was baptized. It says the heavens were open. The Spirit of God descended like a dove. Apparently it looked like a dove to those who witnessed it. And lighted upon him, sat upon him, I believe. And then there was a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I don't believe that John and Jesus were alone. I think this was done in a crowd, and I think this story went back home to many places in the land of Judea and was told and retold again and again. These two boys that were born by the prophecy of Gabriel met again here at this scene and were willing to perform what God wanted them to perform and laid the foundations, I believe, to us for baptism. Luke chapter 3 verse 15 says, and as the people were in expectation and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. So they were musing about John. Later we have them musing about Jesus, wondering who he was. Truly it should have been clear who he was. I drew a little map on the board behind me. And I don't believe it's a mistake in the Bible that Jesus was baptized where he was. The scene is important. The place is important, I believe. Not sure if you can all read it or not, but this is the Jordan River. And right here I have written Jesus' baptism took place very close to that spot on the Jordan River. Here is where John the Baptist established his ministry, and I don't think that was a mistake. Here John baptized hundreds or maybe thousands. And Jesus and his disciples baptized here. And here's where Jesus was baptized. Many memories were clustered here. Directly to the east, towering heights of Nebo. Mount Nebo are here. You can see them from the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized. In Mount Nebo is where Moses got his glimpse of the promised land, and where his secret grave was that God buried him, Mount Nebo. Somewhere between Jordan and Nebo, is the spot where Elijah was taken up to heaven. You remember Elijah and Elisha walking across the Jordan River? The Jordan opened up to them. And right there close to the Jordan River, close to where our story takes place tonight of all the baptisms, the chariot of fire came down and divided those two men. And a whirlwind took Elijah up to heaven. Five miles west is Jericho. You remember the story of Jericho, to the children of Israel, that forever stood in their minds. The walls that fell down around the city. And just above Jericho, very close to Jericho, is the brook Cherith, where Elijah was fed by the ravens. A little further up is Bethel. And that's where Jacob, when he left home, and he had that vision at night, and he saw that ladder going up to heaven. It's where Jacob made his vow to God that he would serve God if God would take care of him. And nearby southward on the same mountain ridge lies Jerusalem, the city of David, which to Jewish people was a very, very important place. And David was a very precious memory, a story that was told again and again, I'm sure, to Old Testament saints. And to the south, across the Dead Sea, lies the plain where the ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah are. You think about all of those scenes, and you think about John the Baptist beginning his ministry right in the midst of that. You think about the baptisms that took place under the ministry of John the Baptist, pointing toward Jesus. You think about all the baptisms that took place by Jesus and his disciples. Maybe I should say by his disciples. One of the Gospels plainly indicates that Jesus did not perform a baptism, but rather it was his disciples that did the baptizing. But it was Jesus in his ministry that his disciples baptized. That's actually in John chapter 3, and I want to turn to that. John chapter 3. Kind of an interesting picture here. John chapter 3, verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon, which is on my map, near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. You get the picture. John the Baptist, Jesus and his disciples, two different locations, baptizing. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He's giving a natural scene here, and he's saying that when a man and woman are married, the bride is the bridegroom's. But he says there is such a thing as a friend of the bridegroom, and I think John is saying, I'm that which standeth and heareth him and rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So he's saying, I'm the friend of the bridegroom, and Jesus is the bridegroom. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Those are some of the closing words of John the Baptist. It wasn't long after this that he was killed for some of the things that he preached. So his ministry was shorter even than Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry continued on. But they were both men that in the start of their ministry saw water baptism as being very important. So what is baptism? There's different definitions of baptism, but one is that water baptism is an ordinance of surrender. It is an ordinance of surrender. It is also a sign of what has already taken place in the heart of the believer. It's a sign of what has already taken place there. Tonight, when we pour the water for baptism, there is no cleansing power in the water. If the one who wants to be baptized has not cleansed his heart, has not surrendered his life totally to God, the pouring of the water will do nothing. But if we are ready to surrender our lives, we have repented of our sin, we have a clean heart and a clean conscience before God, the baptism is a seal. It is a seal that seals me as a son or daughter of God. We've enjoyed our time in instruction class with Burnell. We've been glad for his openness, his willingness to confess sin, his willingness to renounce it. We know that the battle's not over. The devil doesn't like what's happening here tonight. But we do believe that he has been honest and clear before God and that his heart is clean tonight. And that this ordinance of baptism will express and be a seal for him between him and God. Closing part of the message, I just have 5 points. I do take these directly from the doctrines of the Bible, the way they are, just a few variations in the way I worded them. But I really liked his thoughts. Just a few practical thoughts on why practice water baptism. Of course, the scene that I gave you of the baptism of Jesus Christ and the baptisms that John the Baptist were doing at the Jordan River, those scenes are reason enough for us to duplicate what Jesus did. Why practice water baptism? Because Jesus commanded it. Matthew chapter 28, let's turn to that. Very familiar passage, but turn there. Closing words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So you're to go and teach, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus commanded it. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. After Peter's sermon. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So it was commanded by Jesus, and it was practiced by the apostles. It has been a custom, this is point number two, why practice water baptism? It has been the custom of the church since apostolic days. That can be proven by going back to Rome and visiting the catacombs where the Christians lived down underground to stay away from persecution. And in the rocks of the catacombs, they carve pictures, different scenes of what took place, and some of the pictures show them baptizing. Those scenes are there. It's preserved in written history as well, that the church for generations has practiced this custom. Point number three, why practice water baptism? It strengthens believers. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter tells us this very plainly. If you're a believer tonight, you've been born again, you've repented, then you can do one more thing to strengthen you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure thereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Notice he points back to the eight souls that were saved by water. And he says that in like figure, baptism doth also now save us, he says. And so there is strengthening power, there is saving power in the performance of the seal of baptism. Point number four, it belongs to a scriptural church organization. Go back to Acts chapter 2. We were just there, but I want to go back to it now. Acts chapter 2 and continuing where we left off. Verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's you and I tonight. We were afar off. And way down the generations, God's still calling. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Did you note the words in verse 41 that they were added? Added to who? Well, added to the church. Did you notice in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They wanted the doctrine of the church and the fellowship of the church. In verse 46, they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They came and they worshiped together. They met with gladness. And the Lord added to the church. And that's all in the context of baptism, I believe. And so it is, baptism belongs to the scriptural church organization. What more appropriate way of being received into the church than baptism? God has designed it for us. Point number 5, why practice water baptism? It is the seal of our profession of faith and acceptance of Christ. When a person becomes born again, they accept Christ into their life and they claim faith in the power of Jesus to forgive their sins, and they claim faith in the power of Jesus to help them to live above sin. And they do all of those things. And then they are baptized. And the baptism is a seal. A seal of a good conscience toward God. A seal that says, you are God's son. You are God's daughter. A seal between you and God. In closing, I'd like to turn to Proverbs chapter 2. I would like to apply these verses to young people tonight, especially to Bernal and his efforts to serve the Lord. This was written long before a lot of the other passages that I brought to you tonight, and yet they portray very much young people. You notice he starts with my son, Proverbs chapter 2. My son or daughter could be placed there. If you are a young person today, you can put your name there. Bernal, you can put your name there. Bernal, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandment with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek knowledge as silver and searchest for knowledge as hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's a promise that you can claim. Young men, like always, I guess, must have been in the proverb writer time too. They know how to seek after silver. They know how to seek after gold. The proverb writer says, if you will seek wisdom that way, you will find it. May God bless you.